नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 10, chapter number 20, text number 18. This chapter is entitled, The Rainy Season and Autumn. Dhanurvi viyati mahendram.
Dhanurvi
yati mahendram. Nirgunam cha guneya abhat. Nirgunam cha guneya abhat. Vyakte gunar vyakti kare. Vyakti guna vyakti kare. Gunavan purusho yatha. Dhanurvi yate mahendram, nirgunam cha gunayabhat, vyakte gunar vyakti kare, gunavan purusho yatha. Nuryate mahendram. Anuriyati Mahendram Gunancham Chagunir Yathat Chakte Gunar Vyati Kare Unayaya Purushoyata Mat Anuriyati Mahendram Nirgum Chagunye Abad Vyakte guna vyakti kare, gunavan purusho yatan. Matajis. Anuryate mahendram, nirgunam chagunyabhat. Vyakti guna vyakti kare, gunavan purusho yatan. Anuryati Bahamidam Sikram Chaipriyata Vyakte Gunakati Kare Gunam Nam Purushoyata Danu, the bow, rainbow, Viyati, within the sky, Maha Indram. Of Lord Indra. Nirgunam, without qualities, or without a bowstring. Cha, although, Gunini, within the sky, which has definite qualities, like sound. Abhat, appeared. Vyakte, within the manifest material nature. Guna vyakti kare, which consists of the interactions of material qualities. Agunavan, he who has no contact with material qualities. Purusha, the Supreme Personality. Yatha, just as. Translation by His Grace Ridharan Goswami. When the curved bow of Indra, the rainbow, appeared in the sky which had the quality of thundering sound, it was unlike the ordinary bows because it did not rest upon a string. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord appears in this world, which is the interaction of material qualities, he is unlike ordinary persons because he appears and remains free from all material qualities and independent of all material conditions. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. Sometimes, in addition to the roaring of thunder of the clouds, there is an appearance of a rainbow, which stands as a bow without a string. Usually, a bow stands and stays in the curved position because it is tied to its two ends by the bowstring. But in the rainbow, there is no such string, and yet it rests in the sky so beautifully. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to this material world, he appears just like an ordinary human being, but he is not resting on any material condition. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he appears by his internal potency, which is free from the bondage of the external potency. What is bondage for the ordinary creature is freedom for the Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvaye Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscham Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitaunscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. So we have here the 10th canto, which is the beautiful face of the Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is no different from Lord Krishna. The first two cantos are the first two feet of the Lord. The third and fourth canto are his upper portion, lower portion of his legs. Third and fourth, fifth, sixth canto, right up to his hips. Seventh, eighth, ninth canto is his torso. Tenth canto is his beautiful face. 11th canto is the top of his head. And the 12th canto is the decoration, which is like the mukut, etc. In the old days, Radharani was supposed to reside in the mukut. But now, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly I think it was Madhavendra Puri who started the practice of having Radharani personally present in the form of the deity. So here we have this beautiful rainy season and autumn, which is described by Sukhdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj about the wonderful beauty of the rainy season in Vrindavan. Everything about Vrindavan is beautiful, of course. But the rainy season and the autumn season makes it even more beautiful. And there are some very good things explained in this chapter. Earlier also it was mentioned that the clouds are the well-wishing friends. The clouds are the well-wishing friends of all living beings. The lightning, fickle in its affinities, move from one group of clouds to another, like lusty women, unfaithful even to virtuous men. Here now in this 18th shloka today, he says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this world. Of course, he is free to appear wherever he wants, because he is the Supreme Personality. But he comes by his internal potency. Whereas we, the living entities, are forced by the external potency due to our karmas. This morning only I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and he says that the karma is defined as when we have our own desires and we want things to be done by everybody as per our desires. You have seen this in your household life, that there is a man and usually the husband, he is trying to force everybody, including the wife and the children, to do what he wants. Sometimes it's the women, but it's usually the man. Especially in India. In the West, it's more the women. And then, bhakti is, we do what Krishna desires. And if that is the case, then all entities are happy. In the other case, karma, when everything has to be done as per my desire, then others become unhappy in the house. So, if you want happiness in your household life, you have to do bhakti. That's as simple formula as that. So, here is the case where we must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears just like a man who has entered in the world. But he comes by his own internal pleasure potency. And we come not by our internal pleasure potency, we have none of that. But we come due to our past karmas. We are fortunate that we have come in the human form this time. There is 84 million, 8 lakh chorasi, 84 lakhs chorasi. We go through all these unis. Unis means wombs. And each time we suffer. So we feel that now this is the last time. Now we are never going to come back again. But then we get entrapped in this material world with its wonderful distractions. And then we feel, oh, this is my property. This is my house. This is my car or whatever. Wealth or... And then you get attached to it. So the whole Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, have one core principle. That is, don't get attached to this material world, peripherally of this material world, the various things of this material world, but by all means get only attached to Lord Krishna and his lotus feet, his pastimes, which is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, his philosophy is in Bhagavad Gita. Anything related to Krishna, get attached to that. That is like, we want to survive in a storm, in the ocean, then the boat has to be very strong. The captain has to be very intelligent, because he must know where he is going. And you have to just get attached to that boat. And then you can go across this Bhavsagar, this horrible world, which is actually nescience. Nescience means it's dark. Naturally speaking, this world is dark. It's only when the sun rises that it becomes bright. And all this electric lighting and all that is nothing but the sun's energy converted to other energies. For in a power station, the boiler burns because of coal or oil. But the oil has come because of the sun originally. So here it's written in the 18th verse that he is free from all material qualities and independent of all material conditions. So, you may ask, because today happens to be a very important day. Today happens to be the appearance day of Sitaji and also Janama Mataji, the original one. So, here we have Sitaji's appearance day and automatically you remember Lord Ram. So, Lord Ram also came to this material world like a human being, like a man. But there are certain things which most people are not aware of. And that comes in the Ramayana. And it's so subtly put that it becomes very difficult for most people to know how Sitaji appeared and how she's related to the Ramayana. First of all, the root of Ramayana was basically Paritranayam Sadhunam Vinashaya Duskritam. This is, the Lord appears in this world to give pleasure to His devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Duskritam. So, Lord Ram appeared for this reason. And wherever Ram appears, His internal energy, potency, shakti, strength, Sitaji appears. Now, what happened actually, I want to go back a long way. Duskritam were like Ravan, etc., and his family members and all. So they were eliminated. But in the same family, there was Vibhishan, who was a devotee of Lord Ram. There were so many others who were devotees of Ram, so they all got very happy when Ram came, including those citizens of Ayodhya. But now I'm going to get to the very, very root of this whole episode. It surprisingly starts with Narad Muni when he was a young man, young brahmachari. Okay. You might not have heard of this, so I'm trying to get this thing very clear. Narad Muni, as you remember, in his previous life was a son of a maidservant. And what he did was a very wise thing, knowingly or unknowingly. Since his mother was cleaning the vessels of all the Bhakti Vedantas, means they were devotees of Lord Krishna. And these devotees were for Chaturmas, 4 months, like June, July, August, September, like that. They were resting at one place and they were discussing Krishna Katha, chanting the holy name of the Lord, Kirtan, etc. So this boy, maidservant's boy, servant's child, whose father was unknown incidentally, because she may have had affairs with so many people. So, this boy was just tagging along. And because his mother was cleaning the vessels and doing some service, this boy was there. And what these Bhaktivedantas did was, devotees, they would give him the leftover prasadam. So this was very good because the leftover prasadam of highly elevated devotees itself is the mercy of the Lord. And that made this little boy purer and purer for 4 months. At the end of 4 months, unfortunately, his mother got bitten by a snake. She died. And these gentlemen went off in their journey to their wherever they had to go. And our friend, this little boy, was left alone. And so he started wandering around the world. And he learnt a lot of things, of course, of the material world. His Upanishad number 9. Just read that. 9, 10 and 11. So, in that reference to context, he started seeing mines and cities and towns and villages and met people, various type of people. So, he acquired material knowledge. In due course, of course, he grew old and died. That Jivatma, was so pure, so good, that it attracted Brahmaji. And it went in the mind of Lord Brahma. And he appeared as Narad from the mind of Lord Brahma. Brahma had appeared without any mother, only father, on the lotus feet, lotus stem from Lord Padmanab. There is a big temple in Trivandrum. So Narad Muni appeared without a mother also, from the mind of Lord Brahma. His younger brother was Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was also from the Bhrubhu Kutira of Brahma. Actually, 11 Rudras appeared. The eldest being Mahadev, that is Lord Shiva, and the youngest being Hanuman. So actually speaking, Hanuman and Lord Shiva are brothers. And so is Narad Muni. So this young Brahmachari, Narad Muni, I don't know if, have you heard about this story, Prabhuji? About young Narad Muni, Brahmachari? I came across, and I thought this is a very good thing. Let me give this as a talk today and lead you to Sitaji's appearance. Okay? So what happened is, this wonderful young man, he became a very strong Brahmachari. And he did such austerities. He would do so much, giving up things like, we have instance of Dhruv Maharaj. He gave up food, then he gave up water, then he even stopped breathing sort of, and all the demigods got disturbed. So in that mood, Narad Muni was doing all these austerities. He was not Muni at the time, he was Brahmachari. And Naradji shook the very throne of Indra. And you know what happens when Indra's throne gets shaken. He gets worried. He gets highly disturbed. And he sent Kamdev. And Kamdev with his paraphernalia and associates and all the, what do they call them, these ladies? Apsaras, that's right. So all the Rambas and the Apsaras, not the dance Ramba, but actual Ramba. There is Samba and Ramba. So all these ladies came and they really wanted to disturb Narad Muni. But what happened? A very strange thing happened. Narad Muni was not at all disturbed by them. He looked at them as if they were dirt. He just discarded these awful creatures. And Kamdev was so dejected. I got defeat. I had defeated his brother, Shiva. Because Lord Shiva, as you remember, Kamdev had done that act of his. And Parvati was attracted and then Kartikeya was born. So Lord Shiva was disturbed. But Narad Muni was not. So what did Narad Muni do? What does a brother do? Goes to the other brother. Narad Muni went to his brother, Lord Shiva. Said, Shiva, aaj to tumko hara diya maine. So, yes, how? That same fellow, no? That Kamdev came to you. He came to me also. And he couldn't do a damn thing. He and all his associates, all, I kicked them all out. In what he was trying to say is that you fell for it, but I didn't. Lord Shiva said, look, please, you have told me, that's fine, I'm your brother, I can understand, and I appreciate what you are very capable, all obeisances to you, but don't tell this to anybody else. But Narad, at that time, he was young and inexperienced, Brahmachari, and he could not stand being told by his brother what to do and not to do. This happens in life, you know. When they are brothers, they always have this one-upmanship. So, where did Narad Muni go? Directly to Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Shirodakshaya Vishnu is resting. Ocean of milk. He has this wonderful, cool bed. Shesh. Nobody can sleep on a snake. Only Lord Vishnu can. And Lakshmiji is massaging his feet
And here comes young Narad. And he starts boasting. You know what happened? So Vishnu says, no. Of course he knows. Lord Vishnu knows because he is Paramatma. He knows what's in everybody's heart. But he was trying to, you know, enjoy this pastime. No. What happened? So Narad Muni related everything all over again, whatever he told Lord Shiva. So Vishnu says, Oh, really? But in his mind, Lord Vishnu was thinking, my great devotee has started getting pride. The seed of pride has already entered in his head and his heart. Now I've got to get rid of that. So he didn't say anything at that time. He said, very good. Blessings to you. You can go. So Narad Muni trotted off. Narad, the young man. So at that time he went from, as usual, like before, all over the world. And he had this young musical instrument, like many young men have. And he started singing and dancing and praying and showing his great ability. Then he entered a beautiful kingdom. And in this kingdom, there was a king. And I'll just search out the name of that king. It starts with S. You remember the name of that king? I'm trying to remember. Aapko yaad hai? So this, it'll come to me in a few minutes. So, this king, he had a beautiful daughter called Vishwamohini. She was the daughter of King Shilanidhi. Shilanidhi's kingdom was the most exquisite kingdom. It was so beautiful. Beautiful trees, beautiful birds, like this autumn in Vrindavan. That's the connection. And Narad Muni thought, oh, what a beautiful kingdom I've come to. And then the announcement came that the princess Vishwamohini will choose a husband. Little did Narad know that Vishwamohini was none other than Lakshmiji herself. So Narad Muni, Narad Brahmachari thought, I am the most appropriate husband for Lakshmi. Can you imagine? And Narad, he had a nice wash, he cleaned himself, had a nice shave with a nice shikar, put on his best clothes and went to the Swayambar. But little did he know that Lord Vishnu was going to play a trick on him to remove his pride. And Lord Vishnu made Narad's face like a monkey. Hare Bapre. But Narad didn't know that he looked like a monkey now. And he sat there, erect. I'm sure Lakshmi is going to put the beautiful garland on me only. And as soon as Lakshmiji arrived, he started showing, you know, I'm here, look here. But Lakshmiji didn't care a hoot. And she just bypassed him and went and straight put the garland on a young, beautiful prince who was none other than Vishnu himself. Narad couldn't stand that. He got so upset. I was ignored. How did that ever happen? Now, it so happened that when Lord Shiva was telling Narad, don't, you know, tell anybody and all that, two of Lord Shiva's assistants were listening to all this. And they were also in the Swayambar as two brahmanas. So they were giggling away. And look at this monkey face fellow. He wants to marry Lakshmi of all people. And Narad understood that something's wrong somewhere. Because these two brahmanas, why are they looking at me and sort of pointing fingers and making fun of me? So he went directly to the Brahman. Why are you looking at me like this? So the Brahman said, why don't you go and have a look at your face in the mirror? And there was a big pond of water and he looked at it and he saw his face as a monkey. And he realized, oh my God, a real trick has been played on me. He immediately went to where that prince was with his lady. That was Lakshmiji and Vishnu. And he looked at that. This is the only incident where Naradji curses Vishnu. Can you imagine? Narad of all people. But this is all a play. This whole thing was made by Vishnu himself. He's a script writer, he's a producer, and he's a director also. And Narad is a mere actor. Like Shakespeare says, no? This world is but a stage and we are mere actors. So, this was actually a preamble to Ramayana. What is called Mahatmya, right in the beginning, explanation. So what happened? Narad went straight to Vishnu and he said, you have made my face like a monkey, and that's why I was disqualified. And I curse you that you will now depend on monkeys only to save you whenever you are in a battle. So that is the root cause of how this Hanuman and company came in. Okay? Now, the other side of the picture, he then, suddenly Lord Vishnu makes him, you know, clear his mind and everything, his heart, because now his pride had gone, collapsed because of this incident. And Narad Muni suddenly realizes, what have I done? I have cursed Lord himself. How could I do this? He apologizes profusely. He apologizes to Mataji also, Lakshmiji, that I should not have cursed your husband and I should not have even been in that swambar. I was supposed to be a brahmachari. And I got proud. So, brahmacharis, look out. Don't get proud. So, otherwise, you know what will happen. Monkey face. So, so then what happened is, Narad Muni was so repentant. He apologized, etc. But Lord Vishnu said, don't worry. Ye toh hota hai, chalta hai. That's unfortunately in India, everybody is saying like that. Never mind. We are forgiven. So, this is the preamble. And what happened was that on the other hand, there was this Ravan. I've explained to you about Ravan many times. He was actually the half-brother of... who was that? The treasurer of the demigods, Kuber, looted his own brother, half-brother. His Lanka, his gold, his airship, everything he took. And kicked him out of Lanka. So, Ravan actually had taken a boon from Brahma that he cannot be killed by any animal, he cannot be killed by any rakshas, yavanas, demigods, anybody. He said, but he didn't bother to ask for, you cannot be killed by a human being. This was the boon he took. So Lord Vishnu takes the form of a human being. And that's what is mentioned here. The Lord appears in this world, which is the interaction of the material qualities, just like a human being. So the Lord came. Now if Lord appears as a human being, naturally, Lakshmiji has to appear as a lady. So she appears. Now she wanted to also please Bhumi Mata. So what happened was Lakshmi Devi came as a little beautiful baby girl as the daughter of Bhumi. Alright. Now, here is a place where Janaka, near the border of Bihar and Nepal. So, in the kingdom of Lord Janaka, King Janaka, he had no children. So Janak Raja was, the end of the monsoon was going to plow, and he also was to perform a yagya. So he cleaned up the land himself with his own hands. And there was a near bush, by a bush, and he heard a sound of a child. So he immediately went to that bush, and there he saw this beautiful girl, child. And immediately he realized that this is the Lord's own gift to him. And he was, after all, a great, great Mahajan, Janak. So he realized that. He felt realized.
these margins. So he then took the child to his wife, the queen, and they loved this child. And as time went on, she became more and more beautiful, etc. Again, the incident where when she grew up, she had to be married, and there was none other than Lord Vishnu himself who came as Ram. And he broke the bow of Lord Shiva in the process of stringing it. We are talking about stringing bows and bows. So Lord Shiva's bow was really transcendental. Actually, what had happened was Janak had fought a battle, and in the battle he had won the victory, and the victory prize he had got was Lord Shiva's bow. You see? So he had taken that bow as a victory symbol, and it was presented to him. So this is the story that Sitaji's appearance is purely transcendental. By her own wish, she wanted to please Bhumi. She came as the daughter of Bhumi. Incidentally, right at the end of Ramayana, she goes back to Bhumi, you know. And Ram, at the end of Ramayana, goes into the water of the river Sarayu. So, this is the story of why Sitaji appeared. Because Vishnu had to appear as a man. Therefore, Sitaji had to appear as a lady. And she appeared in this way. So we are celebrating today the appearance day of Sita. Actually, a very funny thing had happened before Vishnu came. Even Ravan was there in that swamba. You know that? And he could not lift the bow of Shiva. And Ravan said, "Lord Shiva, you are my guru. Give me the strength to lift this bow." But there was a mishap before where Ravan had tried to even capture Parvati, Lord, his own guru's wife. And in the process, his hand got under the big mountain, Kailash. And when his hand got caught under Kailash, Ravan screamed. He was so in so much agony. The weight of that mountain on his hand. He was screaming so loudly that even the demigods got scared. And that is when Lord Shiva gives the name Ravan to him. His name was not Ravan before. So, it was a punishment from Lord Shiva that changed his name from Dasagriva. You know, Dasagriva, that was his birth name. Then his name became Vishrav, and now he became Ravan because of the noise and the screaming that he did. So this is a story about Ravan, little bit, about Mataji, that is Sitaji. Her appearance was purely, again, to please Lord Ram. There's only one incident, like in most families, you know, there's a quarrel between husband and wife. There's only one incident when Sitaji gets angry on Ram. It's very interesting. The incident is when Ram is told by his father that you have to spend, 14 years in Vanvas. That too was arranged. This Vanvas whole incident was arranged by none other than Indra. It's because Indra and Ravan were enemies. It was Indra who had requested through Brahmaji, and the whole group had gone and requested Vishnu, please take the form of human being. So, but Indra wanted to make sure that Lord Vishnu doesn't forget his duty to kill Ravan, because Ayodhya is such a nice place that he would spend his whole lifetime there only. So he sent his own, one of his apsaras, that Ramba type. And she became the maid servant of Kaikai. And that is that woman known as Mantra. An ugly woman with, you know, hunchback. But she was not hunchback, ugly woman. Originally she was very pretty. But she took that form as a maid, and she became a maid
at the birth of Kaikai. So we are going now to Caucasus mountain in Russia, where Kaikai took her birth. So Kaikai was born of the king of Russia. And she was a very brave young girl. And she became so good at chariot riding, and bow and arrow and fighting and everything. So when she married Dasharatha, she used to go to war with him, as usual. Not against him, with him. So, and she became Dasharatha's charioteer actually. Kaikai was Dasharatha's charioteer. And two times, she saved her husband's life. Twice. Dasharatha was about to get killed and defeated. And she was so competent as a charioteer and as a fighter that Dasharatha, as they say in Hindi movies, pigal gaya, fida ho gaya. And he immediately offered a boon to her. Beware all men, never offer boons to your wives. And he offered not one, two. And then she knew when to encash it. Unfortunately, it was under the influence of mantra. But it was really under the influence of Indra. Just to send Ram to the jungle to kill Ravan. Otherwise, he would not have killed Ravan. Now, I want to tell you about another wonderful lady. I'm trying to remember her name now. She was actually the daughter of a great Rishi Muni in that same area where Ram went, you know. And she actually was very unfortunate in the sense the father died, mother had died, everybody, she became alone in that whole place. Now that's not a good thing to happen. And she therefore wanted to commit suicide in the fire. Hare Krishna. So Agni Dev himself came and said, no, wait, you should not commit suicide in the fire like this. And what is the name? Huh? Vedvati. Correct. Vedvati. Thank you. I just forgotten temporarily. So Vedvati, she wanted to commit suicide and all that. But in her heart of hearts, she wanted to marry Vishnu, Lord Ram. So, but as usual, you know, I told you, Lord Vishnu makes these plays and we are mere actors. So is Ravan. So who comes in the scene? The villain. Ravan came. Just when this Vedvati wanted to commit suicide. So he said, what are you doing? You're so beautiful. You're so worthy of living in a palace. You're worthy of being my queen. And nobody can defeat me. You come immediately with me. And she said, nothing doing. I am already attached to Lord Ram. And I only want to marry him. Oh, who's Ram? There's nothing. He's just a human being. Look at me. She said, I have looked at you. I don't want you. And Vedvati was the one who went to Agni. So it was a switch which was done. The Lakshman Rekha incident. When Vedvati was taken by Ravan. Because earlier also, the same Vedvati, Ravan had caught her hair only. Actually. And what she did was, she had so much tapasya she had done, austerities, that this is the only incident I have read in anywhere, somewhat like the Star Wars, that her hand became like a sword and she cut off her own hair. And Ravan was left with only the hair and not Vedvati. Do you know this, Prabhuji? So, never catch a lady's hair. You never know what will happen. So, poor Ravan, he's left with hair only, just like a barber. So, Ravan was hopping mad. This Vedvati had died. And so he remembered her. He also remembered that in that Swayambar, he couldn't lift Shiva's bow. So all these things were playing on his mind too much. So one should never have too much playing on mind about women, you know. Otherwise one becomes like a Ravan. So all the time he was thinking, one day I am going to get this Vedvati who appeared as Sita. And it was in that mood, though Vedvati never had the incident of marrying Ram, because Ram had only one wife. But technically she became Sita during that whole incident. So this is in which Puran? Kurma Puran. This story is from Kurma Puran. Where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he goes to South India, and there is one Brahmana who is very much lamenting about how Sitaji was taken away by Ravan, and my Lord Ram had to do all this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pacified him and said, don't get too much upset. She was only a Maya Sita, means a replacement Sita. Like in the theater, you know, you have an actor and then sometimes the actor is replaced by some other actor. So this is the story. So we have now covered appearance of Sita Devi. Of course, Kaikai in the process. This Maya Sita also, Vedvati. And then we have today a very, very auspicious day, because this is also the auspicious day of Janava Mataji's appearance. Now, Janava Mataji's appearance is beautifully related, and there are some incidents. And if anybody wants to read, please refer to this beautiful book, The Lives of Vaishnav Saints, written by Satyaraj Prabhu, Stephen Rosen. So here, what happened was that these three great personalities, Narottam Das, Srinivas, and Shyamanand Pandit. So Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamanand Pandit were originally kept under the care of Jiva Goswami. Now, what had happened was that Janava Mataji had gone to Vrindavan, and she had told Jiva Goswami that all these beautiful books are here, but they should actually be in Bengal. So under her instructions, Jiva Goswami asked these three saintly people to take all these cart full of these scriptures written by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and all these Goswamis to Bengal. Now, Janava Mataji is none other than Revati. No? Revati is the original wife of Balramji. So when Balramji appears as Nityanand Prabhu in the Chaitanya Leela, she also appears. The Shakti comes along with the husband. So she had appeared again on today's day, because she and Sitaji are almost like inseparable. Just like Lalita and Vishakha we see on the altar here. So that is one of the reasons why she appears also on the day of Sita Devi, Lakshmi Ji, because they are very close to each other, obviously, because Krishna and Balarama are very, very close. So this Janava Mataji and the entire entourage from Khardaha, that was her native place, Khardaha. So they came down at the invitation of Narottam Das Thakur. Now, who is Narottam Das Thakur? Narottam Das Thakur is the effulgent Gnan Shakti of Balram. Did you know that? Prabhuji, did you know that? It's in the book. I started reading it at about 11:30, 12 at night, preparing for today's lecture. Because we had guests last night. So, Narottam Das Thakur, naturally, because he is the Gnan Shakti and effulgence of the husband of Janava Devi, Mataji, made Janava Mataji the chief guest of the installation of a huge big temple, which was to take place at Narottam Das Thakur's
house, means a village, that is Khetri. What had happened was that Narottam Das Thakur's Guru Maharaj, that is Loknath Maharaj from Vrindavan, he had sent a letter saying that the books have arrived, but the books alone will not do. You have also to build temples and have the deity installation. Just like Prabhupada, he took the books. He took trunk full of his books. But what is one of the first things he did? He installed, even at 26th Avenue, a small altar with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's picture on it. And he started installing one by one by one. And we have now over 200 temples all over the world. So this combination works. It's not only the books, because only by books you get knowledge, no doubt. But real bhakti comes when you have also a temple, you see the Lord, you do devotional service, loving, uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service. That is definition of bhakti. So here is Narottam Das Thakur introducing for the first time in Bengal, because there was a confusion. Now this confusion was very bad, because this confusion had taken place because several groups had formed after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. And each group thought that they were doing the right thing. And these groups were called like Gaurya, Nagari Bhav. Another group was called Gaura, Paramvad. Another one was called Rasaraj group. Another was called Nitai, Paramandana group. Another was called Advaita, Paramavanda group. So there were about 10-15 groups. There was no unity. Now, unless there is unity, there is no strength. Isn't it? That old story of that one stick being broken easily, but all the sticks together you can't break. So it was Janava Mataji who got all these groups together at that great big function. So she appeared on this earth actually as a great, great Acharya. In fact, the word uses Acharyani. So she therefore was made the guest of honor. This is the first time I know of an incident where a lady was made the chief guest of honor. She was made Acharyani of this sampradaya, because she got all these people who were fighting each other or separated together into one solid unit. This is the greatness of Janava Mataji. It was this Janava Mataji who, even as an Acharyani, personally cooked for all the devotees. Thousands of devotees came, because there were all these units which were now assembled. And she and her group assembled together, and she would cook, she would personally serve them with her group, and she did this sort of humble service for all the devotees. So what we have here is that Narottam Das Thakur, he unveiled 5 sets of Radha Krishna deities. Their names were Balabhikanta, Sri Krishna, Vrajamohana, Radhakanta, and Radha Raman. These beautiful deities were installed. And there is only one place where Lord Chaitanya himself and his consort, Vishnupriya Mataji, so their deities are also installed. And they had 3 days of kirtan and celebration. This was one of the greatest things that ever happened in the history of mankind, that Lord Chaitanya himself reappeared at that function. Nityanand Prabhu also appeared. Again, Advaita Acharya, Srinivas Thakur, all of them came and danced in ecstasy in this Mahakirtan. So Janava Mataji ki jai. So this is the appearance day of Janava Mata also, and we are celebrating that day. We are also very happy to tell you that there was another devotee's appearance day today, Madhu Pandit. And Madhu Pandit was also a close associate of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu. As his name says, Madhu. Madhu means sweet, nectarian.
and he was a wonderful devotee. But we don't have too much details about Madhu Pandit's appearance. So we'll just leave it at that. And since my time is nearly up, I'll just revise this quickly. The Lord appears by his own sweet will. In fact, I remember when I first met Prabhupada, that was one of the questions or one of the doubts I had, that why God has to come to this earth at all? You know, on one hand you are saying that this is a miserable place, like a jail, prison house, then why should he come? Then Prabhupada gave that beautiful example that the governor can go anywhere he wants. He can go even in a jail and he may inspect the jail just to see how the jailbirds are doing and to encourage them to leave the jail eventually and mend their ways, minds, acts, so that they go out of jail. So really speaking, the Vaikuntha planets are out of jail. Vain and Kunt, free of fear. And Kunt means anxiety. So free of anxiety means Vaikunth. So here in this material world, it is Kuntha. Actually, this another name of this place is Durga. Durga means prison house. Also the same lady, Durga Devi, she is the superintendent of the prisons. But she is very kind to us, actually speaking, if you look at it. Because she is trying to mend the ways of the prisoners. That's why she is put here. And she has this horrible task of trying to train all of us, Durga Devi. Only those who associate with devotees, who eat prasadam, deity worship, study the Bhagavatam, and see to it that they chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Rupa Goswami says, these five things are absolute minimal. If you do these five things, your going home back to Godhead is 100% assured. It's guaranteed. Now, Rupa Goswami's own guarantee is there. So, we can expect results. And these results would come very quickly in this lifetime itself. And one should not miss this opportunity. Because we never know what is next. If you miss this, you never know. I was hearing this morning only that Prabhupada was saying to some people in England, in America, that they were arguing with Prabhupada, what's wrong with becoming a dog? The dog has such a nice life. He says, Prabhupada says, who knows, you'll be an American dog. You may be in India. And there, you know, dogs don't have cushions to sit on. They are on the street and everywhere they are so scared and they don't have food to eat and so on. So, or they may be born in China, they themselves might become a food. So, you see, one can never know. So, the position of, there are dog eaters in this world. I have seen myself in China garden, that not the restaurant here, but in China, in the shops, in the hook, there's a dog actually. Totally stripped of all his skin. I've seen it in Singapore also. Not now, in the earlier days. I don't know if they are still there. But that's why when I went to China, I didn't find a single dog on the street. There's no pigeon. There are no insects also. My God. So it's a very good, clean place. But they've all been eaten away. It's a bhajiya hota hai. I've actually seen it on the street, you know. It smells awful. How can they eat that thing? But anyway, human beings, they can fall to that level. So, we should not fall for that. We should only have prasad. And it's waiting for us. So, at this stage, I'm supposed to stop. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or any comments? Please ask. Yes, please. I know you always ask a question. Just give that mic.
In Sita Devi's appearance, one story is coming that a lot of rishis were killed and their blood was stored in one pot, and that pot was stored in Mithila's kingdom by Ravan and his soldiers. And so when Janak went to plow that field, that time that pot was turned into a girl. So is it true that
pot was
that blood pot of the stored rishi's blood?
Oh,
killed by Ravan and their soldiers.
Oh,
so it is a true event. Like so.
I see. Which what's the reference for context? What's
the Ramayana? Ramayana in Ramayana.
Which because many Ramayans are there.
No, Valmiki that is Ramayana. Yes, same.
Valmiki's Ramayana.
Yes,
is there?
Yes, Valmiki's Ramayana.
So I'd like to see that chapter.
So that is also a story.
I see. So what happened to that pot? It was Rushi's pot.
Yes, means that Rushi's pot
fell on the earth.
Yes, and it was
converted to Sita.
Yes, Sita Devi means she came to save the Vedic civilization, like we can say.
That because time. Of the
yes, means these Ravana's soldiers were aborigines, like we can say.
Yeah, abnormal.
Contaminated people, like.
Yeah, of course.
Meat eaters.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for your kind reference. Any other comments or? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. What's the difference between the spiritual world of like Ayodhya and Golok? Like how we know about Golok or Vaikuntha? So,
Golok what?
Golok and Vaikuntha we know. What is the difference between Golok,
Golok and Vaikuntha?
And Ayodhya where...
Actually, if you see the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam cover, you know, the book, Prabhupada's book. You'll see all these planets written there. You see, a beautiful painting is there. What Prabhupada is trying to explain by this painting is that after the Viraja River, see first, we are on this earth, right? This is the middle planet. Then there are seven planets above us. Okay? There is Swargalok, Janalok, and the topmost is the Brahmalok. Satyalok, Brahmalok. Now, beyond Brahmalok is Viraja River. Beyond the river, Viraja on the other shore is Vaikuntha Lok starts. Now, in Vaikuntha, three times bigger than the material world. Alright? There are innumerable number of planets there. Alright? So, whatever be your faith, your sort of commitment in this world, if it is of a spiritual nature, there is a planet waiting for you there. In fact, your spiritual body is there already. So you'll enter that spiritual body. You'll be born there as a child. And then you will live in that spiritual world. Now, the topmost three planets in the Vaikuntha group of planets, the topmost are Golok Vrindavan, there is Mayapur, and there is Dwarka. Okay. So these are the three topmost planets. Just next to them, nearby, is this Ayodhya, the original Ayodhya. Now what happens when the Lord came down to, you know, Ram was not born like any of us. Dashrath had a daughter called Shanta. There was only one daughter he had, Shanta. And he had no sons. So this Shanta had married a very great Brahmana who was a priest. You remember his name? Visheshasinga. And he conducted the great Yajna where the Payasam came. And this Payasam was given to these three queens in a certain proportion. The largest proportion was given to Kaushalya. That's Ram. Was born by that Payasam. You know the story? So, once Lord Ram appeared, the whole Ayodhya of the spiritual world juxtapositioned here. Similarly, when Lord Krishna came down to this earth, you know what is called juxtaposition? It's an engineering language. So, in engineering language, we call juxtaposition means when one plate or one instrument or whatever equipment is aisa baith jata hai, totally
That's called juxtaposition. And it can be back again. So when Lord Ram went back to his spiritual planet, Ayodhya remained here. It had already been touched by the lotus feet of Ram and all the devotees. Actually, Ram is none other than Vasudev. Bharat is none other than Pradyumna. Lakshman is Shankarsana. And his youngest brother, Shatrughna, is Aniruddha. So this is that Chaturvyu. Okay. So they all appeared in, it's like Mathura. Ayodhya is very similar to Mathura. Because Mathura also we had Vasudev. Now it's clear? Actually, earlier to Lord Krishna's appearance, it was the youngest brother, that is Aniruddha, means Shatrughna, who established originally Mathura. The history of Mathura is like that. Did you know that? Did you know that? It is Shatrughna who established Mathura. And that's why Lord Krishna could come to Mathura and appear. So that's a preparatory stage. Is that clear to you? If there's any more questions, you can ask the devotees. There are some more enlightened than me right here. Any other questions or comments, Matajis? Anyone? No. Sitaji's appearance day, no comments on Matajis? Why Sitaji got angry, you know? Once only in her life she got angry at her husband. I must tell you that story. One day after that, Ram was told to go to Vanvas, 14 days, he got ready and he said, I'm going. As most husbands decide, I packed my bag and I'm going. So Sitaji said, what? How can you go? I have to come with you. So Ram said, but King Dasharatha has not sort of cursed you or given this instruction that you should go to. You should stay here and look after the mother-in-law, means Kausalyaji and Dasharatha. You should be here only. You're not supposed to come with me. She said, no, I'm going to come with you. I'm married to you. He said, that's all right, but I'll come back. After 14 years, you stay here. Then she got angry. Sitaji gets angry. It's the first and last time, only time she gets angry with Ram. And she says, if my father knew that you are such a coward, you can't protect me, he would not have got you married to me. Re bapre. That is something Ram could not handle. So, acha, ajao mere saath. If my father knew, these are the words, if my father knew, Janak, that is, if my father knew that you are such a coward, are baap re, to tell Ram. So, that's how it is. So, men should realize that sometimes you have to hear such words. Hare Krishna. Hey, Radhe, Radhe. Thank you very much.